Welcome to the Home of Misfits podcast, where normal is optional, masks are unnecessary, and you belong. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Home of the Misfits. And I'm your host, Sabina. And today I am with a really good friend of mine, John Thunderheart. I love that name. I just love it.
And it's funny, on the title, on the invitation, it says Jin. J-I-H-N.
I know, I saw that. I laughed.
So I'm also a djinn. So what is the wish you want? Be careful what you ask for. No.
Where do I begin?
No, I do not do table dances.
Darn it.
Since my knee injury became dangerous. I'm like,
darn. There goes that. Anyway. Moving on.
To the real topic.
I know, right? Tell us a little bit about you, John. Who are you? What do you do?
Oh, God. Who am I? Well, that's
I mean, other than awesome and amazing and, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So now I'll have to start with something different.
Starting over.
Who am I? That's such a hard question to really answer. Because it's, you know, anytime I meet new people, have new conversations, I'm not the same as I was before. Let's just say I'm a person who works with spirit and you know, is a instrument of that energy of God, of love, of, you know, peace, as best I can in a human body.
I love that. And you do it well. I mean, it's like I met you. How did I meet you?
Oh, God, it's been a long time.
It's been so long. It's been like lifetimes ago, you know?
Yeah.
but it's like you used to do the drumming circle here at the full moon drumming circle in Garden of the Gods. And it's amazing. So many people's like, oh, my gosh, I miss that. What happened? You know, and I tell them the short version of it. But you also do card readings. But not in a traditional sense, not like what people would think is like, you know, you go to a card reader or something, they use one card of decks. I mean, one deck of cards, you know.
Yes, yeah.
You and use I've got, so many different ones.
Yeah, I've got, I think, 15 or 16 on my table, different decks. Right. But but that's only part of it. It's because I tap into spirit. I'm not just reading the deck. I start like holding the hands of people and I get information and I see, hear and feel things and stuff. And then I start with that. And then I have the person after I'm done with what spirit wants to tell them right up front is to pick, you know, several cards, depending on the length of the reading that's going on.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, what I've said beforehand, when the cards turned over and, you know, some of the cards don't have any meanings written on them. And some of them do have a lot written on them. And when I turn them over, I'll say 8 or 9 times out of 10, what I had already spoken to about after holding their hand was written almost verbatim sometimes, what was on one of the cards that they chose out of all those different decks. Now, they're not picking from the top. I tell them to, you know, they can if they want, but I tell them to dig in. You know, you can spread them out and put your hand over them. And, you know, if you feel something, you pull that card or you can just reach over and grab it. And I tell people there's no right or wrong on how to do it. If you pick everything from the top, you're still going to get the message. You know, even if that card, they'd have me sit down and look at it and then they would allow me to interpret it other than what the meaning of the card is in the book. I don't use the book unless I'm told to.
Right.
So a lot of times, I know what the meaning of that card is. And I tell them something different. Well, that's not what the book says. And I said, well, I don't really go by the book unless I'm told to go by the book. I give you the meaning that they want me to interpret it as, you know, like if it has an animal on the deck, the animal in the shamanic traditions have different attributes. And, you know, I would talk about the different attributes, but I'd be also looking at other parts that are shown in the card. They'd be saying, okay, and this is what this means for this person and so forth. So some readings can be very similar to other people who pulled the same cards, but they're not going to be identical because the person's not identical. You know, they have different, you know, variations of experience. So, I used to do straight mediumship, where Uncle Joe would come through. And then when I had a spinal injury, and it kind of short-circuited how I perceived things because of the severity of the injury. Spirit works around it,
Yeah,
and
it's
they,
amazing how they work with people.
yeah, and that's how I ended up starting using cards because someone gave me cards. I had two of my ex-wife's cards decks, and I didn't do readings with them. I actually had them on a table. I wanted to look at them. I brought them with me because I figured, because I wasn't doing readings at the at one of the fairs I was doing. I was doing healing work, and personal meditation and light body activation. And the person sat down and said, "I want a reading with those cards." And I meant to take them off the table, but I didn't. I forgot. And the person wouldn't leave until I gave him a reading.
Wow,
And
that's amazing.
yeah, and I mean, they were stubborn, and I said, "I'm not doing readings,
And yet
And
here you are.
then yet here I am, because I've done, mediumship readings since, I was in my, early 20s,
Okay,
but
yeah, I was
doing
going to ask
spirit.
you, when did it start? When did you realize that you have those gifts?
It was, well, what woke me up that something peculiar, very peculiar, happened when I was about 18 or 19, I think it was 19 years old, when I had the vision of an assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II. And it was very in-depth. I got, vehicle, license plate number, country, street signs, types of
Wow, we'll have chills.
weapons, what they were wearing. I even had serial numbers on some of the weapons, and so forth. And I didn't know what to do. And I had just, like 2 weeks prior, listened to a radio show with a psychic medium on it in New York. That's where I'm from. And the medium was, he's the most tested psychic. His name's George Anderson. There was a Catholic priest on one of the shows, and they had a physicist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, parapsychologist. They had all these people testing him. Not all simultaneously, but on the sh on this show, I think they had two or three of those there. A Catholic priest said, "I agreed." And I mean, he goes, "I believe that this guy's the real deal." Because he told myself and my sister something that no one knew except us two. And this is pre-internet. This is pre-cell phone.
Long time ago.
A long time ago, yes. So I figured if a Catholic priest who happened to be in head of diocesan television in New York, I should maybe try to get a hold of him and pass the message on to him, and he can tell the priest. So I kind of wangled I called up the station when I got back because I was at the time visiting my brother in Manhattan, Kansas. He was going to Kansas State. And I called up the radio station to find out when that psychic was going to be on again. It was 3 months later. And I went down to the radio station and wangled my way in, not telling them why I was there. I just said I would like to be a member of the studio audience type of thing. And it was an ordeal to get in, but they let me in.
Oh, nice.
And I cornered him on a break, and I passed it on, and his mouth dropped. He said, "I had exactly the same one. Stay after the show. We're all going out to eat to a diner in New York to go in 24 hours." The show was midnight to 2 a.m. So around 3:30 in the morning, we went to the diner. But he said, "You had a gift. I want to start, training you." So he goes, "Meet me at St. Killian's Church on Monday night for novena, and then after that you follow me back to my apartment, and then I'm going to start working with you." So for the next
Oh,
6 years, he mentored me, that was the start. But then
so that wasn't really a subtle thing. That was more like the universal 2x4, doing pay attention.
That was a 2x4. But I did have experiences growing up, which I didn't realize were experiences until later, until I was a young adult.
Okay.
in my 20s, 12 years old, I think I was, when a great uncle who used to stay with us growing up every year for a couple of months, he was lived in Bermuda, and he came to me and said goodbye when I was sleeping. Woke up and I sat there and I was like, no, and I kind of compelled to go up, went across into my parents' bedroom, and as soon as my hand hit the phone rang,
Oh,
and there was
wow.
an English woman on the other end, and she said, and I said, he's not dead, he's not dead, he's not dead. And she said, I've just, is Richard there, which is my dad? And I said, no, he's not home. And I didn't know that because I was sleeping and he wasn't home. But it turned out she was his caretaker. She went to check on him and he had passed away. But he said goodbye to me. He came into my dream and said goodbye because I was close with him. Yeah.
I have chills. I mean, yeah, this is amazing. And I know there's a lot of our listeners, or viewers that can relate. There's like something happened, and they just don't know where to put it, or they've shared it with something and got poo-pooed on,
Well, that happens a lot. Even growing up, you have incidences like, the imaginary friend that some people have. Well,
Right.
a lot of these kids are seeing spirits. Not all, but I'd say a vast majority are interacting with another dimension. I'll put it that way.
Right. Well, plus it's like when we're young, when we come into this experience, we still remember a few things from before we came here, and it's just as we get older, we forget more and more.
Yes.
But it's like I love the work that you and I do. We help people remember. Essentially, that's all we do is we help people remember.
Yeah. I mean, like tonight, like I was mentioning earlier off camera, that I'm doing a sound meditation, but it's going to be partially guided. It's basically a shamanic journey with sacred sound, which I play flutes, crystal bowls, gongs,
Right.
chimes,
And it's
various
amazing. It
instruments.
is so good. And it's like, and sound, it's like, I don't know, there's just something, every once in a while, it's like when I listen to my music in the background, every once in a while, there's the song. It's like a few months ago that the song was, and I listened to it many times before, and then all of a sudden I hear it in the background, and something within me just like so totally ignited. And it's like with the sound, especially with the sound healing, what you do, you have the bowls and all kinds of things, and it's amazing. I know I did one of them with you a long time ago, and it was so incredible because it's like when you're in there, and you just go with the experience, it is amazing what comes through and what you see and experience and feel. It's I don't know, it's just there's something about this the sound. It's like the frequency of the sound. It's just,
Yeah.
whew, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, sound, and frequency, sound, vibration, resonance, all of those things work together. And, since we are all made up of the same material, these frequencies can vibrate. I'll use that term, vibrate, resonate within the body. That opens up pathways, in our mind, in our brain that create the receiver that we are. We're both transmitters and receivers of energy,
Right.
right? And frequencies. That's why sometimes you're around people and you're like, oh man, I don't like this person. And you don't know
Oh,
why they
you
didn't do
go in a
anything.
room. You go in a
Oh, in a
room and you
room.
feel that energy and it's like, oh, let me out
So
of
yeah,
here.
everybody has its that capability. Cops, they say,
Right.
it's gut instinct and stuff like it's all the same stuff. We all have the ability to receive these things. And when you're working with sound, there are sounds that make you relax. There are sounds that stimulate you. There are sounds that make you fearful. There are, you know what I mean? And depending on how they're used, they can, and if you use them, I'll say, in a good manner with an intent to release an emotion that
Right.
may be holding you back. And it could be anger. And all of a sudden you feel really angry at something. And it's like, don't fight it. Go, okay, what is it? What in my mind? What does this relate to? What is it? What's popping into my mind that it reminds me of? And then
Right.
you can basically address it. at
Right.
that point, and finding the roots of it and then finally releasing it. Like tonight's meditation is about connecting with your spirit guides. Having communication or communion with your spirit guides. An intent is only positive. Only positive energy, that type of thing. Only beings that are in and attuned to God's light and love. That
Right.
we don't want to bring in negativity, because some people who have a negative nature can have negative guides
Right.
or attachments. Yeah, I
Right.
wouldn't even call them guides. I'll say attachments. And what
I
we're
think
doing
I think attachment is a good is a gooder
a
word than
better, yeah, a gooder.
gooder. Gooder is a word. I like the word gooder because it's funner.
I tripped and fell in the gooder. No.
It happens, Life is good. So I have a question. What has your own healing journey taught you that no teacher or tradition could?
Is listening to your heart. Is listening, the answers aren't always from without, right? They can make sense of some of the things you feel on the inside, because then you can describe it. But it's feeling, is trusting that inner voice, right? When you feel it coming from your heart, right? Because the heart, they've done a lot of tests, has neurons, is, and they're believing they actually have more neurons than the brain. Now, because the brain only works on the data, that's fed into it, what it's been taught into, what we experience. And sometimes we experience things not in the way it was intended. So we are not seeing it for the truth of what it could be, but from compilation of all our other experiences, deciding what it is in the moment, which might not be a correct analysis. But your heart and your gut feel it on energetic field,
Right.
right?
And they
A
always tell the
quantum,
truth. That's what I tell my clients,
yes,
when I do that, the quantum
a
healing
quantum
hypnosis.
field. Yeah.
I tell them, it's like, okay, the very first thing that comes through from your heart or from your gut, this is your answer. It's
Yeah.
like as soon as it goes in your head and you start analyzing, that's your ego.
Oh yeah, and that when you start getting into your head, it's going into those false beliefs believed to be true, those types of things, fears, it allows fears to take over, or uncomfortableness. Most people want to be just comfortable, and there's nothing wrong with being comfortable, but you need to shake it up some. You don't get anywhere if you just stay in a comfortable state.
Well, they say there's nothing is more dangerous than the comfort zone.
Yeah. And well, yeah, and safety zone. The comfort zone is generally what we consider a lot of times the safety zone. We all love to be safe in our life, but no one is guaranteed to get out of this life alive. Right? So, and we all have that thing of wanting to be safe and comfortable, but the universe doesn't won't tolerate that generally, unless that's what you're here to experience, right? Some people are here to have it easy and everything falls into their laps, because they, and I'll say we'll go into past life stuff. In a past life, they may have had the absolute opposite, and they said, I need to experience this other life of luxury and peace. And so it all of it is a learning experience, and we agree to most of the stuff that goes on in our life before we get here. When we're in
Oh, we
spirit,
do.
we
And I see
agree to.
this so much with my clients when I do the QHHT sessions. It's like it's so amazing what comes through, like their past life experiences, and it's like how it plays a role in this life. To make sense of things that are happening in this life. It is so incredible. I love it.
Yeah.
So,
You
yeah.
know, and it's not always easy to go with the flow of things,
No, it's
because
not. And sometimes it's so uncomfortable, but you know what? You look at the big picture, you look at out in the distance, it's like, man, this is where I want to go. And you go that way.
That terminology popped in my head, where it says work smarter, not harder. Well, sometimes the smart thing is to is it's like, if you're starting something, is to allow, not to keep trying to tweak it, is to allow it to unfold and see what happens.
Right. It's
Right.
like, you
But
know, it's like with this podcast here, you know, with the
yeah.
whole Memphis podcast, it's like, I just like, you know what? I feel like this is something that I need to do. Not should do, not want to do. It's like, I really felt like this needs to be done. And I was like, I have no idea where this is going, what we're doing, you know, and it's really, but it's like, this feels good. This feels right. You know, is it uncomfortable? You betcha.
Right.
But
Yeah.
it's fun. It's fun, and I get to
Yeah.
talk to people, and it's just like, you know, and we learn together, we grow together, and I love that. So, speaking of fear, you know, how do you work with fear, with yours or someone else's, without trying to fix
That's not always easy.
it? No.
Because we all have fear. I have fear. I have plenty of fear. I think I have a master's degree in fear.
I think we all do. I think to some degree we all do.
Yeah, but I'm not working on my doctorate.
Oh.
Okay.
Hey, me neither. Oh, wait, I got it.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Well, one of the workshops I did many years ago, they say to use fear as a motivator. Right. When you're fearing something, then go investigate what that is, why that fear came up. Right. And it's not about self-judgment. It's about literally examination, right? Meaning you take the emotion out of that energy and you look at it and say, what can this teach me? What door is this opening for me when I look at this and when I ask questions about it? And that's a lot of times with ourselves. Why am I holding myself back? Why am I procrastinating? Now, sometimes says some people also go, they go, well, I'm procrastinating because I'm waiting for the right moment and the right people to show up. Right. And so they don't do anything instead of keep working on the self and watching a podcast or something where they learn more. They're just sitting on the couch doing absolutely nothing.
And waiting. Well,
Right.
right. And my thing is, it's like, no, you just go. You adjust course as you go, but you go. It's like when they shoot a rocket to the moon, you know, and I forgot, I read somewhere, it readjusts itself a bazillion times to keep going in the direction it's supposed to go.
Right. Yes, they have those little attitude jets, and it's a
Right.
great word,
I
attitude jets,
love
right,
that.
to steer you back onto course,
Right.
right? Now, Spirit told me, stop with the plans. Stop making plans. Have an outline of what you'd like, not the exact outcome,
Right.
but where you'd like to get, because they don't want to create a limitation. So, if you outline something that you'd like to happen and you have an idea in your mind, but don't set it in stone because you might not be shooting the right distance. It might be
Right.
something greater for you, but if you go, oh, I achieved what I wanted and you stop and there was so much more that would bring you to that, I guess, sense of peace,
Right.
or achievement or whatever it is, it's you have an idea, you start the motion, and you have room to adjust. An outline has you can add and subtract, but a plan is almost like you're making a contract with yourself. And if you make that contract, you're afraid to break any part of it. You're because that would divert the pathway. But when you have an outline, you can move stuff and add and subtract. It has the attitude jets to steer you to
I
what you're
love that.
supposed to achieve.
Right. See, you know, I always say it's like I'm going in that direction, and I put my arms wide that
Yeah,
way.
I
No,
like that
instead of
too. Yeah.
this way, I'm going that way. And whatever comes along the way, you know, it's like I might have this. This is like, oh, this is what I want. But then
Yeah.
along the way, I discover it's like, oh, that's part of what I want. You know, and I just keep like, this is fun. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we always limit ourselves.
Right. Well, a lot has to do
And
with the fear of the unknown.
yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, we pay attention to all the people's like when I say, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, and people's like, oh, you can't do that. And I was like, I wouldn't be able to do that, and da 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 da. And I was like, okay, that's why you're not doing it, I'm doing it.
Right.
You
Well,
know. But people come from their
it's
own fear and they try to talk you out of
yeah.
things because of their own fears.
Well, yes, definitely. We're afraid of the dark.
Right.
The stuff that's we can't see. Right. Like in the beginning, right? There was nothing, right? It was darkness. It was the void. It was no light. There was nothing,
Right.
right? And if you go into the biblical thing and said, and then there was light, right? Meaning in native traditions, in the shamanic work, you know, the void, the great void, is the place where creation begins. It has all the elements. It has all the ingredients for creation in it. So when we're afraid of the dark, we're afraid of creating something. We're afraid, you know, we want it set in stone in front of us. We want someone else to do it. But the universe, you know, out, you know, they talk about the shadow side of the self. That's, you know, shadow is like darkness, you know,
Right.
and all it is the uncompleted parts of ourselves, you know, or fragments of parts that are waiting to be put together to create something new,
Right.
right? Or to make oneself whole again. Because sometimes when we're traumatized, we hide some of that trauma, we bury it so that we can carry on, so it doesn't affect us. But eventually, that part, that missing part, is important, and we need to bring it home again with
Right.
the understanding of why that happened and what tool it has for us to move past it.
Right.
And that's
Well, they
where,
say what
like in the
you
shamanic
resist
work, soul
persists, you know, it
retrieval.
doesn't go away.
No.
The pain, the feeling, everything, you can bury it, you can ignore it for a while, but it doesn't go away. It showed up to teach you something, you know.
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
I always tell my clients too, and it's like, you know, the way this works is like there comes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, you know, and it's like, look, here's a lesson for you. Do you want it? And you're like, no, I don't want it. You know, you poo-poo on it, and it's like you ignore it. Here's the thing, it goes away for a little while, but it doesn't really go away away.
No.
It finds a
No.
friend and it comes back, and then it says, look, I'm back
And
and
it's
I brought a
bigger.
friend.
Yes. It's like having my drink here. Then all of a sudden I put my eye in my, you know, earbuds
Exactly. You know, and every
right
time
on
you
top of
ignore
it.
it and it goes away, it will come back. I guarantee you, it will come back and it will be heavier and heavier and heavier until you have no choice.
Well, that's one of the things that comes up often when I'm doing readings is with people, like when a number six shows up for me. Now, it's not necessarily the meaning of the numerology, but when six shows up, to me, it's a karma number. And
Right.
it's about relationships with close friends and family generally, right? But when six comes up, it says you've actually in this lifetime taken care of the big karma, right? But we see sometimes the crumbs, and I use an analogy of like you made dough, right? And you have a big Hobart mixer and you make this big dough and you made like 20 loaves of bread with it. Now,
Right.
those 20 loaves of bread are not going to be identical when they come out of the oven, right? Think of that as human beings. You have brothers and sisters. You know, you all came from the same source, mom and dad's, you know, sperm and egg, right? But you're not identical when you come out, but you were
Right.
mixed together with the same ingredients, right? You cooked at a different time period, right? So there's another
That where the bun
personality
in the
in you.
oven comes from?
Yeah, that's exactly where it comes from. No, I'm kidding.
Couldn't resist that
You did it. You get a cookie.
Yay.
But you know, those loaves of bread are there. Now, if you cut them all up and slice them into slices and slip them into the bag, right, and you send them out for delivery, none of them are identical,
Right.
right? But think of that as the karma. You've broken up the big karma and you've dispersed it now to wherever it brings balance in the universe. All right. Now you've got all these crumbs and you sweep them together, and all of a sudden you have a pile that's sitting this big on that table, the way you cut up all the bread. That's the remainder of the karma. But it looks so big. It's the mountain out of the molehill. You're going, oh my God, look how much I still have to work. But almost all of that is air in between it. And not only that, it's all related, meaning whatever problems you have in life have a relationship with a lot of other things that you've experienced, meaning you have the tools present in your life. You're just not recognizing them because they look a little different. You know what I
Right.
mean? So they're saying, like, for instance, with that number six, and you got karma. Now, if you had a good, you had an argument with a friend and you're no longer friends, and it could have been a stupid argument. It doesn't matter. Spirit says, this isn't, you know, when we work on us, it's not about mending the relationship. It's not allowing it to stay in the dark and fester. It's bringing it to the light. So you have to face it and come to terms with it. This happened. You know, it might not ever improve. We might separate the rest of our lives. But once you acknowledge that energy, it can never hold you back completely. when it, as if it was stuffed inside of you. You know, that's why they say, you know, we get sick. You know, I ended up having a heart attack because of a heart ache, a loss, right? Spirit told me, you know, I was like, man, I'm doing everything right. I eat well, I stay in shape, I exercise, I do all these things, and I have a massive heart attack, right? Spirit, and I said, what was that from? And they said, John, you have a broken heart. You know, you will get better when you come to terms with the ending of a relationship, or the, or even just the change in the relationship, that you
Oh
will
yeah,
start to function at a higher vibration again,
And it's so true.
instead
It's
of
like I
a,
have this book. It's called "Feelings Buried Alive Never Die," and I refer to it n not daily, but at least 4 or 5 times a week. You know, it's like whether for myself or for clients, you know, whenever they have a physical condition, you know, that gives you the list of the feelings and the emotions related to that. And when I read that, either for myself or for my clients, their jaws drop, their eyes got big, and they're like, oh my God.
Well, it's a lot like the emotion code,
Right.
you know,
It's
and
all connected. It's
yeah,
all
it is. It
connected.
is. It, they're, these are the crumbs. They come from the same source, so they are interrelated. There's nothing that happens in your life and that you experience that doesn't have a connection with something else that is part of creation, right? Part of another person, part of a thought process, whatever. So there are always threads. That's why they, you know, the universe is a web of energy. And when you're in the right place and at the right time and in the right framework, frame mind, the energy, the insight, the aha will show up if you're ready for it. And you still have a
Absolutely.
choice at that point to accept or reject it. But if you're really looking to progress and to be at peace with yourself, you're going to say, all right, I get it. I understand. Yeah. And that's when we feel lighter and we feel more in balance and we feel more in tune with things. So when things aren't going right, what are we resisting? What are we, you know, what's going on? Right. And ask that question in a meditation. I always like to say, well, no matter where you are, create a sacred circle around. You can picture a circle wrapped around you. Where only the positive energy and, you know, divine guidance or your guides, whatever, can come through with something that's going to benefit your soul, your, you know. And you ask the question, and what pops up, and it might be ridiculous stuff. Write it down. If people are writers, write all that stuff down when you're doing this work, because you're going to start to find similarities. And then you get some insights, and then you get ahas, and then you're let your imagination run rampant.
You know, funny you bring up imagination. How do you personally distinguish between intuition and imagination?
Well, they're related. You know, you can't have inspiration without imagination, right? Because that imagination is your connection with source, right? Because imagination creates. Without something, an idea popping into your head, which if it pops in your head, that's part of your imagination working, right? It's you can say it's a subconscious energy. It's not in the conscious mind. It only floats up into the conscious mind, right? So
What about
there's,
go ahead.
go
What about intuition?
ahead. Well, you know, intuition, I think, is like, because we are all receivers and transmitters of energy, right? Frequencies, that, you know, the intuition is the information coming at a specific time for a specific reason. It's like I'm here for a thing, and all of a sudden, I'm not supposed to go to this place. My intuition says stay away, right? Because, you know, in a sense, we are preordained for certain events to go on in our lives so that we can learn. And if that would divert us from our path, the intuition will say yay or nay. You know, if it, or if it, we're supposed to go that way or be, or not go that way, the intuition is going to give us a signal. Sometimes it's to go slow and pay attention, like, I don't feel like I'm supposed to not do this, but I feel wary. So that means just to be, to pay attention and look around and absorb the interactions of the people or the energies around it, right? And then you can make a decision through here.
Right.
You know, the gut says just pay attention.
Right. Well, I was
So,
just going to say, so intuition and your gut instinct is pretty
well,
much the
they,
same thing.
yeah, that they're, I'll say they're twins. I can never say they're identical twins,
Right.
but they, you know, they work, let's just say they hold hands with each other.
You know, and I always tell my clients too, it's like always listen to your gut, always listen to your intuition, because it never steers you wrong. You know, but we're so conditioned to poo-poo on it and ignore it and rationalize it away, you know, and that usually gets us in trouble. I mean, it got me in trouble many times.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, you know, your intuition is tapped into the unified field, the quantum field of energy, you know, the divine energy and stuff like that. Our brains, like I said, works on data, whatever's been put into it, whatever we observed, whatever we've heard, we agree with some of it, and it might be incorrect. It might only be partial truth, but until we get more information and converse with people with different ideas, right, we get slanted left or right, or you know, and spirit has been really adamant to say, you know, to talk to people and to take the middle road and not to get so far left or so far right, is to listen and to observe, right, and feel from the heart. Most times we're coming, we're feeling from up in the brain, right, which there's a, so much misinformation being pumped into us. So coming back down into heart and the gut are the most important things, especially at this time period. But if you keep thinking from up here, saying I am going through my heart, but your brain is being, you know, and getting the anger coming out, it's like, no, you're leaving it in the brain and you're sending it to the heart, right?
Yeah.
And
That's
rejecting it.
like,
And you
Yeah.
know,
Oh,
that's
yeah,
why
absolutely.
quiet meditation, you know, and just sometimes just sitting and being and not getting so caught up. Like I have a lot of spiritual friends who are so wise, are so caught up in some of the I'll say information that's out there that I feel in my heart is a lie,
So they got
is a
lost in the
twist,
sauce, huh?
getting lost in the sauce. And but and parts of them understand that, but they're so against what they believe, what they're perceiving, right, that they're not allowing themselves to be.
Right.
And one of the things is that all of us need to take time for just ourselves, to sit on the back, you know, steps, the porch, a walk in the park, not talking to anybody, and commune and give thanks to what's around us, right, and clear out thoughts of the worries of what the world is going turning into,
Well, I
you
mean, the
know.
biggest thing is for us is to become still.
Well, that's it. That's
You
just
know,
being.
just become still. Just be in the moment. You know, and it's like I tell people, a very fast
It's
thing you can
hard.
do is just put your hands on your heart, close your eyes, and pay attention to your heartbeat. Gets you
Yeah.
centered, gets you grounded, gets you right back into right now.
Yeah, and that's where heart math, breathing through the heart.
Right.
And you picture a time when you felt loved or very happy, and you take that energy and you breathe in and out. And you create a breathing like a, you know, what is it, like the circular breathing or the
Right.
4-4 type breath,
Yeah, I
where
mean
you're breathing
it's powerful. I love it.
right, you know, because the heart math talks about the heart brain coherence.
Right.
And
So, okay, go ahead.
you know, so breathing, whatever it is, whether it's the 4-4 breathing, the 2-4-6-8 breathing, and
Or just
all
breathing,
these,
just focus on your breath, breathing in, breathing
yeah.
out.
And
You
breathing
know,
in love and
it's
breathing out love, you
oh there,
know,
I like
breathing
that.
in peace, breathing
I
out
love
peace,
that. Hey, I
mixing
have a
them up.
question.
Yeah.
What question do you wish people would ask you, but rarely do?
Oh, gosh.
I know, right?
Thank you for asking that, because I never really put any thought into that. I, you know, like a lot of the work when I do is I work to find, you know, the life path energy of finding that what we do that brings us peace within our own heart. Right? That's what I consider life path, not jobs. Jobs can be a part of a life path, but exploring the self, you know, and I tell people right up in the beginning, you know, what the information I get for you is for, you know, the homework and stuff is so that you can understand yourself better where you can find peace. Because we're always trying to please others and we're putting energy out there to others. And we have to do ourselves first and love ourselves first and find peace and forgive ourselves and all these things. And once we get to that point, then we can see what resonates with us. Because if we're always projecting it outward, we can't receive. It's the balance of giving and receiving, right? Most of us are great givers, but we're horrendous at receiving. Oh, I can do it
Oh, we're
myself.
awful at asking for help. I know I'm guilty of that. I'm
Yeah,
like,
me too. You know, I'm a lot better than I was in a lot of that
yes.
aspect,
I
but
mean, for me
I'm
it was I didn't have a choice, you know, but it's like, but that was a hard lesson to learn. Again, the universe is like, hey, you know what? Here you go. Here's your lesson.
well, that's the thing is that the universe sometimes will give you no choice.
Right.
Like when
Well,
I'm not listening
because
and
you know
I'm
it came and you ignored it and it goes away and it brings friends.
right. Well, sometimes it's too is that they say you need to take care of yourself, but I've got so much to do. I want
I
to do
know,
this, I
right?
want to do that, or I don't want to do it. You know, I resist it. You know,
Right?
like
And
you
here's
said,
one
what
thing
you
I
resist, you
learned.
persist.
Be careful what you say because words are powerful. Careful what you ask for. Because a couple of years ago, you know, I kept saying, oh my God, I'm physically, mentally exhausted. I need a break. Guess what happened? I broke both of
You
my
broke,
ankles.
right? Well, yeah. You know, I was supposed to
That
leave
sucked, but you know.
when I was a cop. They, you know, they gave me 3 years to make up my mind, right, to leave. And I was like single dad and everything else, raising my son. And I chose. I said, I've got only 8 years to early retirement. The first 10 went really quick. I can stick it out. And I kept being told, no, it's time to go. It's time to go. Time to go. Well, I refused. And I had a warning, a final warning says, John, if you don't go, you're going to get the size 12 boot up your ass. And that's, you know, they sent my
And
grandfather
whoop,
to look
there
after
it
me.
is.
And then I had the spinal injury.
Yeah, I
Right.
mean,
Which made, yeah, which made me sit still, which made me not do it when I was refusing to let go of an emotion. You know, I get a heart attack. I'm stubborn. I'm, you know, I, you know, sometimes I know what I want, and but that's not always what's best for me, or in the right timing of things, and the
Again,
universe will.
listen to your gut because your gut was telling
Yeah.
you know, but your ego was telling you something different. And we a lot of times we follow the ego because
Right. Well,
it's part of
because
our
where's the
condition.
ego resides in our brain,
Darn it. Get evicted
right? And we're
already. Sheesh.
right, you know. You know, not everything that is good for one person would be good for another person.
Right. Yeah,
You know,
absolutely.
it so it's that if you just be, like you were saying, sometimes we have to just be, that's when you find out what really resonates, what you really want. Me, I, you know, I being rich was never my goal. I'd like to be rich, but at the same time, that's not my motivator. My motivation is to just to have happiness in myself and to create the opportunity for others to find happiness within themselves,
I love it. See,
right? To
that's why
find
we're
that.
connected because happiness matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I have a
So
couple more questions real quick.
yeah, well, I've got
Okay.
plenty of time.
I know, but this we can't do. I mean, I could talk to you all day for every day.
You
Okay.
make two episodes, you break them up.
There's that. So real quick, what would you say to someone who feels different and doesn't know where they belong yet?
Honor it.
Honor it. Good
Honor it.
answer.
I feel different. I don't feel like I belong in, you know, even when I'm with people who are like-minded, I always feel I'm different. I always feel a separation in a sense. There's nothing I can really do about that. I can only be what I am.
I love that.
And
Good
so,
answer.
well, I mean, that's, you know, I don't have a choice with that.
Right.
because, I try, we try to fit in, we try to do this and we try to do that. There were very few people where I felt like I was 100% at home with, where I vibrated. There were a couple people that I've had in my life, but they were in and out very quickly for some reason.
Oh, you
Because
know.
maybe they didn't feel they resonated like I did with them. You know what I mean? It might have been their path to experience a discord,
Right.
where my path
Okay.
wasn't that with them. But
Right.
that was also teaching me that no matter how much I feel like I'm connected with this particular person or group, is that it's temporary.
Right. Well, because
Like
we're all
life.
here on our own journey.
Yes,
You know?
exactly.
So I mean, we agreed to walk the path together for a while, maybe a short
Yeah.
while, maybe a long while or whatever, you know, but essentially it's our own individual journey and our own path.
And that person who doesn't feel like they fit in or whatever, right? Who, what was the question? How was that question done again? So I want to,
Oh, what would you say to someone who feels different and doesn't know where they belong yet?
you are a sacred rebel.
Ooh, I like
That,
that card deck. That's a card deck too. I love that.
yes, that's what I was bringing up, the card deck. You are a sacred rebel, right?
Love
You,
it.
that means you're not meant to fit in. You're not
Right.
meant to follow someone else's idea of what's you're supposed to do or be, and all that type of thing
Right. And you know,
is
and I have
about.
to say, it's like for so long I tried to fit in, you know, and I was shooting all over myself. It's like I should do this, I should do this, so I fit in, because as humans we want to belong, you know, and but what we end up doing is we chisel away from ourselves. And for me, it was like I was miserable until I finally said, you know what, enough.
Well, the one thing that we all belong to when we're in this physical body is the human race.
Right.
So you are belonging just exactly the way you are,
Right.
right? And then, we, with all the different experiences, and when we integrate them, or release some of the ones that don't work,
Yep.
right? We're growing. Our energetic field is growing. On
Yep.
the spiritual level, we are connecting even greater to the whole at that point. But in the physical form here, we have to have those discordant notes,
Right. Love
right?
that.
Because that we can't be complacent
Right. And
for
you know,
any
I
real
mean,
long
here's the thing,
period.
it's like because we are one, you know, we're like that drop of water in the ocean. We all
Yeah.
belong to the one thing. We all are one. We just all have our own individual experience. But whatever we do in as an individual affects everything and everybody
The
everywhere.
ripples. Yep,
Right. You
exactly.
know, and it's like once I understood that, I was like, whoa. So,
Well,
but anyway.
and that's a concept, that's hard because we could put it into our brain. And our brain, in this physical form is too limited. It can't see the big picture
Right,
because
right.
the divine force, the creative force in the universe, works on a different logic. I call it like in economics, it works on the macro. We work on a micro. So how can you understand the macro if you
Right.
think in a micro?
Well, I mean, they
Right.
say our conscious mind, our ego mind, is operates at 40 bits per second. The
Right.
universe and everything else is 40 million bits per second. Question is, which computer would you rather work with?
Right.
You know, it
You
comes
know,
down to a choice.
or which one are you confined to work with? So you
Right.
have to, because within those 40 bits also has a connection to the 400 million bits.
Of course, because it's all
Right. So
connected. It's just
because,
the crumb. It's like the cake is over here and you're dealing with the crumb over here.
yeah,
Like if,
right.
yeah. Anyway.
You know, and then, and that's just about when you become still, you're able to have a more direct
Right.
connection where you're not
I
as
love that.
limited. Yeah.
Love it. I love it. John, I can talk to you all day long. So
We need to do this again.
we will. You know we will. Maybe we do a show again together. You never
Yes.
know. You never
That one,
know.
yeah. Yeah,
So
you
hey, if
never
people
know.
want to get a hold of you, how would they get a hold of you?
Okay, well, you can look up on Facebook, John Thunderheart Robinson. I run the Inner Light Center in Colorado Springs. You can look up the Inner Light Center. Also, the website is theinnerlightweb.com. I'm not always great on updating. I try. I'm not a techie. I affect electronics, so it's a challenge. You can call me at my work number and leave a message at 719-351-7596. I do, phone readings and stuff like that. And I'm trying to figure a way to do the sound stuff where I have good quality sound. I don't know how to do that quite yet. I'm trying to work with some
I'm sure your
people.
sound is pretty good right now.
Right, but when you actually play instruments and stuff, there
Oh
are
yeah, that's
filters with some of the things that you don't get the full effect, because they take out sometimes the lower frequencies and the very high frequencies.
Gotcha.
And when you're playing certain instruments, you're not getting the resonance and the vibration as it's being played live.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sure there's something out there. And hey, if any of our listeners, viewers, have any ideas,
No.
reach out to John. Give him some tips how to
Yeah.
do that, you know? So, anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Anytime. You know, I will
Yeah.
have you anytime. So, thank you. And hey, guys, tune in for the next episode. No idea yet who that will be or what we'll talk about, but we'll figure it out. Until then, have a good one.
Yeah, have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Home of Misfits by Matters of Perspective. You belong.